So today we're requested by the requester, the supreme personality of requester. He has not manifested physically to give a class on relationships, the basis of Krishna consciousness. So this is the topic. So Srila Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita describes in the fourth verse that there are six loving exchanges between devotees. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting statement. He says that the purpose of establishing temples all around the world is simply to facilitate these six loving exchanges between devotees. So love is not only meant for the Supreme Lord, but for the devotees amongst each other. The whole idea is that the mood is that we are all together as a family trying to assist each other in learning about our Father, our Eternal Father, Krishna in the spiritual world. And so as the brothers and sisters have a relationship with each other, they also keep that, they help each other in that relationship to know the Father. But amongst themselves, there is also an etiquette that helps to bring about those loving relationships. And Rupa Goswami describes that. And that is to speak confidential topics to another person and to hear confidential topics from that person, to give gifts, giving gifts. We have Ananda Gopika, she is expert at giving gifts. It's one of the loving exchanges between devotees. Giving gifts to a devotee and receiving the gift. So the receiving is one of the loving exchanges and the giving is another one. So when you receive something and you give something in spiritual life, it's the same. In material life, the idea is to get, and if you can give to get, then giving is good. But the idea in spiritual life is to giving is complete and getting is complete. Both are satisfying and one of the loving exchanges. And the last one, and we all love this one, is to give prasadam to another devotee and to receive prasadam. Foodstuffs and that. These are, Rupa Goswami mentions these are the six loving exchanges between devotees. And to perform those six loving exchanges is meant to be a regular feature. I remember, I'll tell you a personal example, how one time when I was in London, one of my favorite deities is Lord Nisringadev in Mayapur. It's a deity that I always look forward to taking darshan when I'm in Mayapur. Is Lord Nisringadev in Mayapur. I'm sure you're all familiar with him. And so one devotee, he gave me a picture of Lord Nisringadev in Mayapur, and it was a very mystical picture. It was a picture unlike any other photo I had ever seen, or even darshan that I had ever experienced of Nisringadev. It was very mystical. The way it was, there were lights and candles and flames all around the Lord, and it was a meditation. And so I was so thankful to get the picture. And I kept the picture, for years. And then one day, after not seeing the picture for a long time, I went to try to find it, but I couldn't find it anywhere. I had somehow or other couldn't remember where I put the picture. I know I had it, but I couldn't locate it. So then at one point I gave up looking for it. But then I guess maybe it was a little while after that, a couple of weeks, I picked up one book from my library, and I opened up the book, and there was the picture in the book. And I was so happy to see the picture and remembering that beautiful form of the Lord. But immediately, and that was immediate, I remember the devotee who gave it to me. It's like that, you know, when you get a gift from someone, sometimes that gift stays with you and it connects you to that person. Not only after, at the time of the giving and receiving, but it stays with you in that relationship. So in devotional service, even that is more, because we always try to give those gifts that will make the devotees happy, and we always try to receive gifts just to make the devotees happy. And this is one of the loving exchanges. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada about prasadam, because one of the loving exchanges is to give prasadam to devotees and to receive prasadam. So I remember Bhakti Tirtha Swami, every time there'd be a feast, he'd grab the prasadam bucket and line up with the preservers. He always wanted to serve the devotees prasadam. And then I finally understood he was going for the nectar. So one devotee had asked Srila Prabhupada, some devotees they like to take prasadam, and some devotees like to serve prasadam. So what's better? And Prabhupada said, they're both the same. Because prasadam is Krishna and transcendental foodstuffs. So when you give Krishna, that is devotion. And when you receive Krishna, that is an act of devotion also. So giving and receiving prasadam is actually the same, because it is Krishna is the medium of exchange. And it's sweet. Sometimes we think, I don't want to serve. I want to sit down and, you know, get into it. But there are others, devotees, who have a higher realizations that serving is even better. You get to do both, because after you serve, you get to take. Yeah, so it's both. And then speaking confidential matters, that means speaking about Krishna or devotional service. And then hearing those confidential matters, that is also one of the loving exchanges. And that's a verse, the fourth verse from the Upadeshamrita. Prabhupada enunciates and gives a very extensive purport describing how important it is to carry on these loving exchanges in devotional service. So that is the spiritual and also philosophical basis of our relationships. But what becomes the main thing is that Krishna's in the center. Krishna's in the center of the relationship. So when Krishna's in the center of the relationship, then it's spiritual. Is there any way else we can associate with devotees and develop relationships with devotees? Actually, there are unlimited knowledge in this category. I was just looking through my notes, because I have kept notes on this subject. I have tons of notes on this subject. And I was thinking, boy, I don't have enough time to speak about all of this. There's so much. But one of the main principles in a very day-to-day life is to take interest in the needs of the other devotees and see if you can serve those needs. This is a way to build relationships. Sometimes we call it sympathize, and other times we call it empathize. Share the feelings that devotee is going through. It could be good or it could be not so good. And to try to help by understanding what they're going through. This is one of the ways to develop nice Vaishnava relationships. So that's an active principle. Raisana relationships are something that is proactive, mostly. In other words, if you want it to happen, you have to make it happen. Sometimes people say, nobody loves me! You ever hear that one? And the answer is, try loving someone else and see what happens. If you want love, you have to give love. Really. You can't say, well, here I am, I'm ready to be loved, who's going to come? No. Love is an active principle. When you give it, you get it. When you get it, you, and of course, service is the medium by which love is expressed in a practical way. And the nature of the service is how, based on the situation of the relationship. But that's the main principle. Did you get that? No. Yeah, the basis of the expression of the love is to serve. And the situation by which that relationship is developed is how you serve in that relationship. So you may serve in different ways. Sometimes, like, people come to me with problems. I get it all the time. And I realize I can't solve their problems. It's not possible. So what I can solve it by doing one thing, listening to their problems. Just listening. Just sitting there and listening and sometimes asking questions about what they're saying to understand more, but without giving any solutions. And when they go away, sometimes they feel, wow, I feel good. Because a lot of times nobody wants to hear anybody else's problems. So one of the ways of solving problems is just to be a sympathetic ear for another person. It actually works like that. In other words, the person feels like somebody cares about me. Because in the Western mindset, in this very highly technological, industrial world, is everyone's too busy to take time with anybody else. And when they do, it's just out of basic necessities. Personalism has lost its flavor as time goes on. People were more personal in thousands of years ago, and even hundreds of years ago. Now a lot of times we're with people, but we don't have any relationships with them. Or we don't even know them. So this is just a product of this society, that people are just so absorbed in getting things done, doing things both, that they have no time to really develop relationships with each other. Mm-hmm. But relationships, and I'm thinking Urukram, right? That's Urukram over there? Yes? No, that's Abhinandan, right? Is that Abhinandan or that look? Yeah, oh, okay. I can't see that far, but when I'm closer, I can make a distinction. Yeah, Urukram gave me the title, the elected, and he picked a good subject. And what is that subject? It's the basis of the entire existence of the human being's happiness is based on the quality of relationships you have. That's the basis. When you develop quality in your relationships, you don't even care what's going on in the rest of the world. It doesn't matter because you found something. Of course, that starts with Krishna. And it develops in Krishna and it extends itself out to others. So we might say the more we develop our relationship with Krishna in devotion, the more it's natural to develop a relationship with others. We don't see others as being different. We see others as just another person who is also trying to develop the same thing I'm trying to develop, my relationship with Krishna. So we have that commonality. And in that commonality, we all share the struggles and the trials and the victories that we go through and developing that relationship with Krishna. And we can learn so much from each other as we develop those relationships, that learning experience allows us to even develop greater understanding of our relationship with Krishna. So that's why Srila Prabhupada, in this particular verse in the Upadeshamrita, says, we have established these temples solely to facilitate the six loving exchanges. He didn't say, we established these temples for deity worship or for whatever. He didn't say any. He said, this is the only reason we've established these temples, to develop, devotees can come together and develop relationships. So, practice these relationships. There's one pujari. She's a pujari, but she's also a preacher. She's my god sister. She's in Denver, Colorado. Her name is Nidra. She's in her 70s. She's been in Denver Temple for the last 40 years. And she still does pujari work. She goes on the altar. And what she does is she gets a chance to get the Mahaprasadam because she's right there. And she takes it and puts it in these little smaller bags, a little bit of each in each bag, and she carries the bags around. And she'll just go up to some devotee and say, here's some maha for you. That's all she'll do. She'll smile and then she'll go on and do something else or go to another person. She does that every day. She'll come up to one person and say, here's a nice book for you. And she does it in such a way as like, okay. She has that, what we say, that motherly nature, that it's just like a mother giving a child some personal care. It's just people just open up when she comes. So that way she experiences that six loving exchanging by giving gifts in the form of prasad, which is actually four of the six principles. So I wrote a few things down here. To appreciate other devotees, this is one of the ways to develop relationships to devotees. A devotee is appreciative because they're a devotee. You know, we have different personalities and we have different natures, and sometimes our natures really click with somebody, and then with others it's like there's no click, no matter how hard you try to click, it doesn't click. Sometimes because of opposite natures or something. But just to appreciate the fact that this devotee is doing some nice service, or this devotee is every day comes and chants their rounds. In other words, to appreciate the qualities and activities and the contributions that devotees are giving in devotional service is another way to develop relationships with devotees. Sounds a little sometimes sentimental, right? But it's not. It's actually Krishna consciousness. It's actually Krishna consciousness. Because when we appreciate someone, you also gain some of the qualities that they have. When you criticize someone for some bad quality they may have, you get part of that bad quality. Yeah, that's how it works. If you find fault with someone who has a bad quality, some of that bad quality comes to you. And if you appreciate someone for a good quality, some of that good quality comes to you also. That's how much we're connected. We don't realize how much we're connected with each other, both on the material level and ultimately when we engage in devotional service on the spiritual level. So relationships are really the foundation. And then we also have to, somehow or other, if something goes wrong or something is not the way it should be, we have to learn to tolerate and not take so much serious, you know, if somebody says something or does something wrong, or somehow or other we have to tolerate that and not make an issue out of it. I mean, there's people who like to make issues out of when there's no issues. Just to find an issue to make an issue is a process of issue making. It's just... But actually, we should be focused more on the quality of that relationship based on trying to connect each other with Krishna more and more. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. So being kind to another devotee or doing some little service, just like sometimes... I notice devotees here are really good at that. They hold the door open for you. Or they take your shoes and line it up so when you come out of the door, both shoes are facing in the right direction and you can just walk right into them. So you might think, oh, it's such a small thing. But actually it's an interesting, because it's a gesture of kindness. It's a gesture of wanting to do some service for another devotee. It might be a small thing like that. But it's the small things that build and lead to ultimately to the bigger things. So Krishna consciousness, life itself is based on relationships. In the Shastras, there are three categories of topics. They're called Sambandham, Avideya, and Prayojana. The Vedas are made up of these three topics. And the first topic is Sambandham. Sambandham means relationships. That's what the actual translation. That is the biggest topic in the Vedas. All about establishing relationship. Only then, when relationships are established, can Abhideya actually develop properly. That means, Abhideya means serving the Lord. So when we develop proper relationships, then service becomes more natural and easy. But we don't know the relationship or somehow create our own ideas of relationships, then the activities in devotional service become difficult or awkward sometimes. So it's based on relationships. And the scriptures talk about, well, what is my relationship with Krishna? What is my relationship with senior devotees, with peer devotees, with junior devotees? What is my relationship with my spiritual master? What is my relationship with the material energy? There's so many categories of relationships. Why? And that's the first thing the Vedas teach. Relationship. Just like when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, what is the first thing he told Arjuna? You're not this body. He was trying to tell him, your relationship with others is based on the body, therefore it's false. You have to understand, put your relationship with others based on the soul, and then that relationship will develop in the proper, and what we say, the progressive way. In other words, you'll get benefit from that relationship. And that's the first thing Krishna taught in Bhagavad Gita. You're not this body. And he said, before you can understand how to develop relationships, you have to know who you are. That's the first thing. If you think you're the body, then you develop relationships based on that. And then all of the extensions of that relationship comes in the terms of Janasa Moham Yamaham Mameti. That this is mine and that is I. Like that. Prabhupada was talking, I was just listening before I came over. Prabhupada was talking, you know, people think, well, I am this from this nation and I'm from that nation, and this nation is fighting over this land, and this other nation wants that same land, so we're fighting and everybody's dying. But the whole idea is none of that land belongs to either one of them. It belongs to Krishna, because Krishna created the material energy and it belongs to him. And we come in, we think, well, I'm a Slovenian. Mm-hmm. and I'm an American. Watch out. And so we have got these ideas, but then we think, well, the land of America is mine, and the land of Slovenia. I don't know the Slovenian national anthem, but I would sing it if I could. I'm sure there's always one. Every country has, you know. And Prabhupada said that, he said this nationalism is tribalism. This is my tribe, and that's your tribe. Yeah, that's right. And so because, and how long will you be a Slovenian? So many years, and if you decide to come back again, you might wind up in Kosovo, you know. Or where else, you know. Where else could you wind up with? So many places. So you, all of a sudden, your identity and your national identity changes. And now you're waving the flag for that nation. And that it might have been the nation who your country fought against in your previous birth. Prabhupada says that, yeah. He said when the Pakistanis and, you know, and the, what was it, Israel and the, Palestinians were fighting. I remember that was a big thing when I was growing up. They were always fighting. And so they're fighting their enemy and saying the last thing they see before they die is their enemy. And so you got your next birth. It's already counted. You're fighting against somebody who you will be in your next life. So the idea is, before we can really get into this idea of the relationships and develop it, we have to understand we're something other than our this material body. And we're the soul that inhabits the body, and that soul belongs to Krishna. And it has no material identity, but it has a spiritual identity. And that spiritual identity is fixed in our relationship with Krishna. And understanding that and acting in that is self-realization, is perfection. But in the meantime, as we develop relationships with Krishna, it's incumbent, or what we say it is necessary, to develop proper Krishna consciousness relationships with everyone. So you might be looking, now I'm covering so many things, I'm saying so many things in different categories. So what is the foundation, one word foundation, that could help you understand relationships? It's easy. It's only one word. I am a servant. Three words. I am, four words. I am a servant. So in each and every relationship you're in, if you're in the mood to serve, you're in your natural position. The mood is to serve. And sometimes in the mood of service, we have to accept service, but that is also service. By accepting someone's service, we're actually serving that person by accepting their service. So we accept service in order to please others, but at the same time, it gives us an opportunity to reciprocate by serving also. So the mood is to be always in the mood of serving. That's why when Prabhupada said there's no difference between eating prasadam and serving prasadam, because the medium is the same, it's Krishna. So in the material world, nobody gets along with anybody. The only way they get along is that if they make a deal. I'll serve your senses and you serve my senses, right? And if that works out, and then it goes on for some time until things get changed by circumstance or by time, and then things change, the relationships change. But devotees always think, how can I serve in each and every relationship? So that's not just like for Krishna, that's for any activities like that. If you're always in that mindset, I'm a servant, and how can I serve at every moment? Then there's a variety of ways, and Krishna will inspire you and give you the knowledge and to give you the understanding what is the best way to serve in this situation. As we mentioned, just sometimes when people come, they just want to have someone listen to their problems. Just by listening, the person is serving somebody by listening. Because that's the most important thing they can do in that situation. Or the most beneficial thing they can do in that situation. So these are more of a little, but the basic principle is, if you always think, how can I serve in each and every situation? And it's not so hard, because as soon as you think like that, because it's your nature, Krishna always somehow or other gives you some understanding. And if he doesn't give it to you directly, he'll give it to you in another way. Just like there was one lady, she went to Mayapur for the first time. So she came in front of Lord Nisringadev in Mayapur. And she was looking at the Lord, and she was really feeling inspired. And she started to pray to the Lord, "My dear Lord, please let me serve you in some way." It's the first time she ever came to Mayapur. And so after she took the darshan, she started to walk away. And Pankajangri Prabhu was there, and he came up to her and he said, "I have some service for you, but could you do this service?" And she said, "You're asking me? How come you're asking me?" And he said, "I don't know, but I just felt like asking you." So is that magic or what? We have our Somadatri. I don't think she's here now, so I can tell this little pastime. Jai Shri Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. Somadatri, she tells me this story. You probably heard it. She was in Vrindavan in Krishna Balaram temple and was just at the beginning of the Guru Puja. And she's standing there in a crowd of people. And there's, you know, many senior devotees and Prabhupada disciples. You know, Vrindavan is always full of Prabhupada disciples. And so the lady who, she had the garland, she came out with the garland for Prabhupada. And they usually they give it to the, you know, one of the sannyasis to put it on Prabhupada. So she walks out. Now, meanwhile, Somadatri's there and she's praying, "Boy, I would like to give Prabhupada that garland." And so the lady, somehow, rather than going to the sannyasi, she walks over to Somadatri and says, "Here, you put it on Prabhupada." And Somadatri was, happy, but at the same time surprised. She never thought it would happen. And she said, "How come you're asking me?" And the lady says, "I don't know. I just felt like asking you." This is Krishna consciousness. When you have some desire to serve, or you have some desire to serve in some way or other, Krishna will immediately help you and understand. You have to be careful what you desire in this movement. Be careful. Because I know devotees, they desire, "My dear Lord, I want to become a pure devotee. Take everything away from me." And then after some time they say, "Whoa, wait a minute. Not that fast." Leave me with a few things. And I've seen it, because, you know, sometimes devotees get that moment of ecstasy and they all want to become pure devotees at that moment. But then and then all of a sudden they pray like that and something starts to happen. So, but we should pray to become a pure devotee and find out the way by which we can serve in such a way that we're making advancement in our devotional service. We're not becoming stagnant. So developing relationships is the whole basis of happiness. Those who have nice relationships are happy. And those who don't, they're not happy. Everything is based on relationships. You see, even in the material world, people exhibit some happiness because they found some relationship that they're happy with. But, of course, that will end usually very quickly. But at least for the time being, in that relationship there is happiness. And that's the basis of life, is relationships. And it's the basis of our relationship with each other and with Krishna. So following these six principles, along with using our time to serve the devotees in any way we can, we develop relationships like that. But we have to practice that time. And practice takes time. So these are some points we can think about. Anything else on that topic, Uruka? Abhinanda, you must have some similarity in the way you think between both brothers. So you can speak on his behalf, huh? Well, I don't know what to say. One thing is really nice. I get to thank you directly instead of indirectly.
How these exchanges are manifested in practice, or let's say.
How the changes are?
Yeah, how these loving exchanges are manifested in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Any lila or example?
Oh yeah, there's hundreds of examples. Lord Chaitanya was always looking for opportunities to serve his devotees. Right after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, when he took initiation, his first initiation from Ishwar Puri, he started to show an example of how a devotee serves the other devotees. And he would sometimes wash the clothes of the other devotees, and then he would hang them out and dry them and then fold them and give it to the devotees, Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya also loved to serve prasadam. Many times he would serve prasadam. And think of some particular pastimes. Oh, the loving exchanges in the Mahaprakash Lila were continuous. When Lord Chaitanya took the position of the Supreme Lord and accepted worship from all his devotees, they were worshiping him in so many different ways. How he benedicted each and every one of them by finding something about them and speaking about that in a way that was glorifying that devotee. So to glorify a devotee is one of the ways to experience loving exchanges. Lord Chaitanya did that a lot. I think all the devotees did that in so many different ways. Lord Chaitanya would accept prasadam from the houses of many of his, not only his followers, but other people who just invited him. It's not that he had to do that, but he did it to develop loving exchanges with others. A lot of times he accepted difficulties in order to show loving exchanges with others. Yeah, he was an incarnation of Satyabhama, Jagadananda Pandit. And Jagadananda Pandit wanted to serve Lord Chaitanya nicely, so he got some oil from Jagannath Puri, very fragrant sandalwood oil, gave it to Sarup Damodar Goswami to give to Lord Chaitanya as a gift. When Lord Chaitanya got the gift, now he was a sannyasi at the time, he looked at the oil and he said, "I can't wear this. If I put this on and walk down the street, they'll say, what kind of sannyasi is that? He smells so nice." I think I'm just some tantric yogi or something. So he gave it back to Srup Damodar and said, told the Jagananda, he said, tell Jagananda Pandit that take the oil and use it for to massage the body of Lord Jagannath. So he gave it back and explained to Jagannanda Pandit. Jagannanda Pandit got angry, took the oil in the pot and smashed it on the ground, walked into his room, locked the door, and fasted for 3 days. And when Lord Chaitanya found out what happened to Jagannanda Pandit, he was concerned. So after 3 days, he knocked on Jagannanda Pandit's door and said, "Hey, Juggy, it's me." And then the door opened slowly. He said, "I'm hungry. Can you cook for me?" And Jagannanda Pandit didn't say a word, still looked angry as ever, went into the kitchen and cooked this huge feast for Lord Chaitanya. And then he came out, and then he offered this feast. And Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm a sannyasi. I can't eat this." And then Lord Chaitanya realized, if I don't eat it, he's going to fast again. So the Lord ate most of it. And then he left a little bit of remnants. And he said to Jagannath Pandit, "When you're angry, you cook very nicely." Because whatever consciousness you are in when you cook, that comes out in the food. One senior devotee was telling me, well, he was telling us in general, when he asked one of his disciples to cook for him. And after eating what she had cooked, he started hearing Beatles songs in his mind. So he had to ask, and he asked her, "Are you listening to Beatles things?" "Guru Maharaj, how did you know?" So if you're cooking, keep that consciousness. Yeah, Sri Devi. Every time I eat Sri Devi's chapatis, I have dreams about devotees. All the time. She asked me today, "Can she cook some chapatis for me?" I said, "No." I didn't want any more dreams. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, as you're speaking, I'm just thinking about today's world. Where do people have time for relationships? You know, everyone is scurrying, rushing from place to place. Fathers have to go to work, mothers have to take children to school, do grocery shopping, then pick up their kids, then again take them for sport, then come back and cook and clean. By the time the day is over, you're like half dead, practically.
I hope you could hear Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, not half dead, mostly dead.
Where's the time for relationships?
Prabhupada talks about that. As society develops materially, relationships become more or less based on material activities. Personal relationships come down to more like business deals. And people change relationships just as much as they change their clothes. Things become expendable. So the lifestyle we live, as you describe, puts a strain on developing quality relationships. And therefore people don't have any time. There was one, Prabhupada talks about one young boy. He was about 5 years old. And one day he said to his mother, "Who's that man in the house?" She said, "That's your father." He had never seen his father until he was five, because his father, when he was sleeping, his father was home, and when he was awake, his father was working. So for 5 years he never saw his father. One day he happened to see him. He asked his mother, "Who's that man?" Yeah, so that's the way it is. We live in a very feverish mental material society where the acquisition of material activities is the main goal. And people are expendable. That's why relationships are not really... Even if people have relationships, they're not really deep. They're very superficial. Really superficial. Mm-hmm. So Prabhupada talks about when you live in a more natural environment, then you don't work the whole year. You work just part of the year. And you have enough food and enough of the material things you need. And then you have many months in the year where you have actually no work. And then at that time, as you spend more time with family members and friends and others. It's just our lifestyle and it puts strains on relationships. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about religion relationships?
What kind?
Religions,
different
religion relationships. Yeah.
Well, God is one.
Yes.
So we should see the unity between all religions based on the principle of oneness. And therefore, whether you worship God according to Christianity, and I worship God according to Krishna consciousness. The idea is we're both worshiping God. So there's the connection. But if we see the superficial differences as ways to break that relationship, then we don't have an understanding of what is real religion. This cold air is coming out again. Here we go. Is there any way to stop it? I'm going to have to put my... put that over. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So the foundation of our relationships with others and other religious traditions is the base that we're both trying to worship the Lord. So that's the connection. Although the language, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a nice article based on this, that the external differences between religions should be seen as what it is, external, but it has nothing to do with the foundation of the relationship. Although my language may be different, my object of worship, in other words, the way I worship may be different, still these are the external forms. And if we base our relationships on the externals, we don't have a relationship. So I've done a lot of interfaith preaching. For years I was very active in interfaith. We were in Chicago, and there's the World Parliament of Religions, which is the center of the world religious parliament in the whole world. And we were doing a lot of programs with different religions and different really big programs. That's the most religious diversified section of the world in Chicago. There's 38 different religions in that area. And so we were meeting with all kinds of people, and we found a lot of differences in the externals. But somehow we tried to come together based on the idea that we're all looking for God, in other words, trying to worship God, and try to connect with each other based on that. And it wasn't always easy. It wasn't always easy. But that was the foundation. And we made a lot of nice friends, and we also had many nice programs. But one thing they liked about the Hare Krishnas, all the other religions, is you guys got the best food. So every program that we had, they said, we would like you to do the cooking. So we did. And so we made a lot of good friends. But in general, I learned a lot from other people to see the connection between my philosophy and their philosophy. Although the wording might be different, the substance is the same. Of course, there are differences too, but these things are not so important. And Prabhupada would say, you can love God as a Christian, you can love God as a Muslim, you can love God as a Jew. The idea is to love God.
Thank you, Haripal.
Mm-hmm. Guru Maharaj, but if you don't know who is God, how can you love Him?
Well, find out. That's our business. That's why Prabhupada said our temples are educational centers, places where we can come and associate with devotees and learn the philosophy of spiritual life.
No, I'm talking about other religions. They don't even know who is God.
They have ideas.
Or they have ideas.
But they also are correct up to a certain level. Mm-hmm. They also are correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you explore other religions, you'll find that they have a lot of deep understanding. Mm-hmm. But they don't have... What they don't teach is rasas. They teach God is the Father and we are the children. They don't teach about the different rasas, relationships.
Thank you.
But that's also there in the Song of Solomon in the Bible. Solomon is expressing his love for God in Madhurya Ras. It's in the Bible. And there's a few other places too. Saint Francis of Assisi, what a powerful Christian saint he was. He did kirtan everywhere. Him and his followers, they would go from place to place just singing the glories of the Lord. All that's what they did. He was so powerful, Saint Francis. He went to the shore of a lake. And he was sitting there, and all the fish came just to see him. They came out of the water. And he was speaking to the fish, and the fish were listening. That was St. Francis. He had a lot of powerful saints in these other traditions. We shouldn't minimize their devotion. I think we are better, you know. Okay, so anything else? Any other questions? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Abhinandan for revealing who he actually is at the last stage to save the day for Urukram. Because, if you take credit for something you don't do, that's a problem. So you saved your brother. I know one devotee. In this particular life, he's a good friend of mine, real good friend. He gets blamed all the time for things he doesn't do. I mean, really serious stuff too. So after happened to him in his life so many times, He decided to go to an astrologer to find out why it's happening. And the astrologer told him, in your last life, you got credit for things you didn't do. You got credit for so many things you didn't do. Now in this life, you're getting blamed for things you didn't do.